Welcome to a special episode of Startup Health Now, the weekly show celebrating the healthcare transformers and change makers who are reimagining healthcare. On today's episode, I'm excited to be with Nick Agostinos, the Senior Vice President for Health Information Services at Cardinal Health. This is going to be a great episode.
It is the duty of leaders to lead, of the creative to create, of the daring to do. The free world expects leadership of us. Its fate and our fate depends upon our leadership. We are industrious, inventive, restless, with the fires that burn within us. But I say that nothing is easy, and the best things are the hardest. And all our troubles, all our immense difficulties, now and in the future, can I say, be solved if we have the will, the courage. The future is to those who take it.
Welcome back to Startup Health Now. I'm Stephen Crine.
And I'm Unity Stokes.
And today we're here with Nick Agostinos from Cardinal Health. And we're at the Cleveland Clinic Medical Innovation Summit 2014. And we just finished up our Startup Health Healthcare Transformer Showcase. And we're excited to be sitting down with Nick today.
Great.
Welcome, Nick.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So Nick, you have such a great background in healthcare. You're an SVP at Cardinal Health now, but you were at Healthion, WebMD, you serve on a number of boards. How did you get involved in healthcare in the first place?
I wish I knew. It was kind of a bit of serendipity, really. I'm an engineer by training with an MBA, and my first job was a consulting job in healthcare in 1985 with a healthcare delivery system, and that's how it all started. And I really liked the field, and then I stuck with it. So here we are in 2014.
So as you look out and see what's going on with innovation today and compare it to when you first got into healthcare, how have things changed?
Things have changed a lot. At times it feels that we've seen this movie before, but in reality they have changed a lot. And what I see changing drastically, first of all, we can't avoid the inevitable effect of demographics. So people live longer, chronic conditions, would they live longer with chronic conditions? And of course, you know, there's this movement of transparent of consumerism that is happening. And as we see consumerism, as we see the risk shifting from the traditional payers to the consumers, consumerism is going to be much more prevalent. And along with that comes a lot of implications for the healthcare delivery system. Transparency is going to be, price transparency is going to be one of them. And with price transparency, we start thinking about cost, how people are going to shop around for services. And cost and quality is going to become extremely important. And all of this has to be done in a way that it can be consumed by a lay person as opposed to clinical people. And you can see how the trickle effect of this, if you want, or the effect of this, is going to carry over into the industry and how we address, as a healthcare industry now, the healthcare of the future. Equally, I think we've seen the shift of shift from treatment to health and wellness. And an expression that I use is that health is a destination. It's not care the destination. Health is a destination. Care is something that happens along the way. So we need to think in that mindset, if you want.
So when you mentioned one of the big macro conditions, you know, chronic disease, aging, cost, and transparency being obviously a big term being thrown around today, healthcare reform, mobile devices, sensors, even entrepreneurship,
correct,
these macro conditions setting up a very different decade in front of us. When you think about some of the biggest challenges today facing the industry as well as entrepreneurs trying to innovate in the industry, what are they?
So consumerism and transparency is going to create some new dynamics, as well as how we understand and how we manage cost and quality is going to become extremely important. So I think from a healthcare delivery standpoint, we have to think about alternative sites of care. We have to think about how these wearable devices are going to impact how we manage populations and population health, how the new devices that we have, the smartphones and whatnot that we carry with us, are going to be a way of reaching out to consumers. So we need to think about all of these capabilities that are available to us in delivering care, in managing health, in managing wellness. So that creates new opportunities. But the really new frontier that is in front of us that wasn't here before, if you want, from a technological standpoint, is our ability to consume and analyze inordinate amount of data. And analytics is the future, is where we're heading, where a lot of emphasis is being put in. And we can see the sort of convergence, if you want, of physiological information with genomic information. We see all of these trends happening, and it's a brave new world as to how we're going to manage health in the future.
So I think one of the most fascinating things, in addition to what you just mentioned, that kind of ties together is you're very involved with helping entrepreneurs and startups navigate the system, navigate this new world. And I think it's special because it's not often that you find industry executives who've been in the industry for so long being so forward thinking about what the future holds for us and being willing to and interested in working with startups. So I want to talk a little bit about your work and where you're interested in helping, because I think you're very involved with some boards and some startups and entrepreneurs, and I keep hearing your name over and over again as the kind of individual that adds tremendous value to a startup. So I want to get your worldview a little bit about that.
I would attribute a lot of that to a sort of age, if you want, and experience. Been in the industry for 35 years, more or less, and I actually understand the dynamics a little bit better. But most importantly, I think I start always with, what are we trying to address? What problem are we trying to address? Is there a business model behind it? And starting with a business model and following and combining the business model with the technology. There is a nexus, if you want, of intersection of business model and technology and innovation. So I always try to understand that. I always try to understand what is the problem, what we're solving, how do we go about to solve it, is it a scalable solution, is it actually, I sort of want to think about solutions, is this, can we build a company around it, or is it a feature that we're building that belongs to another company? And all of these are part of sort of, I wish it was sort of an exact science. It's more sort of the art of bringing these thoughts together. So starting with a problem, starting with a business model, starting with what we're trying to address is always how I approach this thing and how I view a lot of the innovation. And you always have to have a vision. You always have to sort of have a sense of where things are heading. So that is sort of your true north, really. So understanding a little bit of the macroeconomics behind healthcare is extremely important, and that guides you to some degree when you make decisions along the way.
Where's your sense of where we are today? You mentioned giving advice to entrepreneurs. Maybe they're building just a feature or product. Where do you think we are in the cycle of innovation today? Do you think there's just a lot of companies out there that are really still building features at this point, and not enough companies, or do you think we're making progress there at the early stage?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of companies that are building features, but I don't want to discount that either, because those features have some value and they might be part of another company. It might not be a company in and of itself. And where I think you need to go back is to, what problem are you trying to address, and is there a business model that would support this? And I certainly had made my mistakes in my career in terms of building features, if you want, as opposed to solutions that will address a bigger issue. So you have to be able to assess. You have to be able to assess and pivot and adjust as you go along. And I think nimbleness, and how you create this nimbleness in a startup. But what I see in the startups specifically is that some of them are trying to address a problem, and they address it sort of at the spreadsheet level. You know, you can make the math work when you look at the spreadsheet, but in reality, if you say, okay, explain to me how this is going to scale, starting with your first customer, how you're going to the second, to the 10th, to the 100th customer. And I think that's where you have to pressure test a little bit the idea, if you want, because the math on a spreadsheet works. We're going to save 10% of this. That means there's so many of this that happens. So if I multiply this by this, here is the opportunity. Well, it works on a spreadsheet, but in reality, how do you enter a market? How do you go to market? How do you actually scale is extremely important. And thinking of those issues is important when you think about, are you building a company that will have sustenance, that will have sustainability, and can it grow to the expectation of the...
So when you walk into a meeting with a startup, culturally a startup is so very different than a large organization. How do you act different? How do you think differently about, you know, what you'll do in an hour and a half with an entrepreneur versus an hour and a half in a meeting at a big company?
You know, it's some of it is getting to know the entrepreneur. The leaders, the founders of any company tell you a lot about the company. And for me, the things that I watch all the time is I watch the entrepreneur. I watch the thought process. I watch how they go about themselves, how they present, how the excitement, the energy that comes with it. And those are subtle signals. And you can start after a while saying, you know, we have a good idea here with a winning entrepreneur. In some cases, you have a good idea with an entrepreneur that maybe the passion is not there. And it's sort of, it becomes apparent, I think. Or the thought process hasn't mature enough. And there are opportunities with all of those. I think that's the first thing that I do when I walk into a room with an entrepreneur. And I always try to understand what problem are we trying to address, and have you thought it through? Have you thought through how you're going to grow the company? Have you thought about the opportunities? So those are questions, if you want, that are more questions to understand, more so how well thought out the idea and how vetted the idea is. And go always with an open mind. God forbid if entrepreneurs were expecting from the older generation, if you want, to hear the ideas. I think you have to walk in with an open mind that it's sort of something that you've never seen before, you've never heard before.
Right. And you recently joined startup health company Aver Informatics.
Yes.
Kurt Brinkus's company.
Great company.
Great company. What made you decide to join the board?
Well, listen, it's obvious, you know, going to my previous statement, you know.
You mentioned analytics before.
Yeah. And I mentioned analytics. I mentioned price transparency. The entrepreneur, the energy that Kurt brings to the company. The fact that early on this company has had clients, paying clients.
Yep.
I mean, all of those things are certainly check marks, if you want, that mentally I checked off. But most importantly, you know, it is a problem that they're trying to solve. You know, bundle payments are here to stay in some form or another. I don't know the exact form that they're going to have, but in some form or another, bundle payments or some sort of different form of payment is going to be there. And I think Aver is one of these companies that have thought it very carefully through. Mm-hmm. They matched it with very good technology, underlying technology, and certainly the entrepreneur. And
With cool bow ties.
Exactly. And they've raised enough capital right now to get them going. And certainly the fact that they have revenue so early on speaks
that's huge
by itself.
So with entrepreneurs like Kurt running around and we're building an army of entrepreneurs at Startup Health, what do you think the industry looks like 5 or 10 years from now? What predictions do you have? You mentioned some great trends, consumerism and transparency.
Yeah.
How fast do you think things are going to really move, and what do you think things look like?
I think things are going to move quite fast, and they're accelerating all the time. I mean, technology has helped us accelerate and make the circle or the cycles tighter and tighter. So in essence, I think we see those trends are occurring. But the biggest trends that I see is analytics and the precision that allows us to create around care delivery and how we treat conditions. I see the role of clinicians changing over time. Because historically, you know, there's an imbalance of knowledge between a layperson and a clinician. Mm-hmm. You know, that imbalance is somewhat being addressed. I see alternative sites of care being extremely important. Historically, healthcare has been institutionally centered. That is changing. The home is certainly going to be a place where people are going to receive care. Chronic conditions are being addressed as such, and how we deal with chronic conditions, innovation in pharmaceutical industry is extremely important. And not to lose sight of the smart devices that we carry with us and the wearable devices and whatnot that open a whole new horizon of how healthcare is going to be delivered. So the key trends here is our ability to be much more nuanced in our analytics, to understand much more the physiological condition of a patient, to address the conditions with pharmaceutical regimens or whatnot, to use the technology that's available for us, and of course to create experiences for consumers that are different than we had before. Consumerism is going to be a huge factor in how we think of healthcare of the future.
So final question is, I'd love to hear about how Cardinal Health plays a role in all that, because I think it's fascinating to think about. I love hearing how fast you think it's going to go, because we do as well, but you know, we think it's going to take a decade to really play out. But what role does Cardinal Health play in all this?
You know, Cardinal Health is a company that is actually thinking about all of these issues, as you can imagine, and we think about the inescapable fact of aging populations. We think about alternative sites of care. We've made those types of investments, and we continue to build services around our core services, which is services around pharmaceutical distribution, medical device distribution, as well as services around them. So I think we continuously look at how we're going to enhance the portfolio, given our strategic initiatives and given our emphasis to help our customers to be more cost-effective and to deliver care, quality care. So we think about those. We think about how the sites of care are going to change, and we keep on looking for companies that will help us get there.
Excellent. Well, Nick, we appreciate not only you spending time today, but appreciate everything you're doing
with
Kurt and with the other entrepreneurs and your participation at our showcases and really showing up and being an active member of the innovators who are leaning in to help the entrepreneurs and the startups that are reimagining healthcare. If you were to pick one word to sum up how you're feeling right now after 3 days at the summit, what would you say?
It was great. Sorry, one word? Energizing.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Startup Health Now. You can find all episodes of Startup Health Now at startuphealth.com/now. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Have a good day.